Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives, and I have a great guest today. I love all my guests, but this one is different than others because she, like a recent one who was a horse whisperer, this person, Annie Leo, she has a dog rescue organization in Bali, and she's from Australia, so she's wonderful to listen to. But what she does in this world to do good is amazing. And I can't wait for you to hear her story and how it came to be. So she is one of those late in life bloomers when it comes to purpose. And she went through a life change that was really so disruptive and that she thought was the worst thing in the world. But yet, if that hadn't happened to her, she wouldn't have found her purpose, probably. Or maybe she would have found it, but it would have been later. And so she was able to find it, just stumbled into it, which often happens. And she has made such an amazing organization and helping these lost senior dogs and dogs that are handicapped, dogs that nobody wants. And now they have a place, and it's just amazing. And the website, you can go to the website. She's got sells merchandise to support the organization, and you can adopt a dog virtually. It's just great. And so without any more delay, let's get to the episode and you can meet Annie.
Hi, I'm Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place for women in their second half of life to go to receive inspiration. If you are at a place where you believe your best days are behind you, it is my hope one of these episodes will spark you to think differently and lead you to a new belief that your second half may actually be your best half. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that the younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age or circumstances hold you back from the pursuit of a more fulfilling and fun life. The happier we are, the better the world will be. So instead of settling for what you don't want, how about going after what you do want? Listen in and let something you hear prompt you to take the first step in making the rest your best.
I have today with me Annie Leo, and I've been trying to get her on the podcast for a while. She is a dog rescuer, and I love dogs. In fact, she has a t-shirt on. If you want to look at my YouTube channel, you can see her t-shirt. It says, "Dogs make me happy." So we are very, very alike in that. So welcome to the show, Annie. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. She lives in Australia, so hence her accent. But I can't wait because we just met on Instagram. I saw her and reached out. And so I don't know a lot about her story at all. And so I'm very excited to learn along with you as she is sharing her life. But one of the things that she wrote to me is that she is living her purpose. And of course, I love to talk to people. That's what this podcast is all about, who are doing that. And she hasn't been doing it too long. So she shared in her write up that she was 50. This is 4 years ago. So I would love for you to tell me, like, what was the point at which you started to do what you do and how you realized that? And did you, like, I loved dogs when I was little. I brought home all the strays. And so I'm surprised I don't do what you do, because that I love. I thought maybe I could. My parents thought I was going to be a vet, but I can't, like, I don't like that. I don't do shots very well. So yeah. So I'd love to hear your story.
Okay. Well, yes, as you said, it was about 4 years ago where I had a bit of an epiphany, and it all started with a life-changing experience, which I guess, you know, in hindsight, everything happens for a reason. And I didn't know it at the time. At the time, I thought, you know, the bottom had fallen out of my world. But I now realize it was the kick up the pants from the universe that I needed. And if it didn't happen, I would still be in this rut where I really wasn't living my purpose and I really wasn't very happy with, you know, what I was doing and my life in general. So, yeah, so what happened was my long-term partner and I had a split, and we had worked together as well. So I it was his business. When we first got together, he'd asked me to leave. I'd always been in sort of marketing and media. He asked me to come and work with him, which I was always a bit, you know, sort of dubious about, but I thought, yeah, okay. And it worked okay for a while, but we'd sort of got to a point, I guess, where I knew it wasn't the job that, you know, in a perfect world I would have applied for. I wasn't happy with what I was doing. I was just going along with it. That, you know, caused issues within our relationship as well, because I just wasn't generally happy and it was just this sort of plodding along. So we had a split, which meant that I also now didn't have a job. And yeah, I fell into a real spiral. I didn't know.
Yeah, you lost your partner, you lost your job, your livelihood. So yeah, what did you do? Did you do marketing stuff in his company?
No, it was more sort of customer relations, customer focused. There was a little bit of, you know, the media and the, you know, website development, that sort of stuff. But it was never a role that I would have gone for, that I wanted to do. I was always better in that marketing and just a bit more creative, I guess.
Yeah.
So I found myself with a lot of time on my hands, and I just didn't know what to do, and I fell into a real hole, you know, and I was sort of plodding around the house, and then, you know, Facebook is really funny and the universe is really funny. It put something in front of me one day, which was a local charity that was looking for people to transport dogs. So, and foster, eventually got into fostering through that charity as well, but transporting dogs essentially. So to and from vet appointments or to and from fosters. This was a group that they temporarily foster animals if their owners are going through homelessness, through domestic violence issues or mental health issues, and they find themselves displaced. So they foster their animals until they get back on their feet so they don't have to surrender them, and then they are reunited with their pets. So I volunteered doing this transporting and then fostering. And I realized that those days were the days that I felt the best and I had the biggest smile on my face. And yeah, so that kind of started me thinking a little bit.
Yeah. So you saw an ad or something on Facebook, or somebody did a post?
Yeah, it was just it was a post about this woman who started the charity. She was doing a talk, you know, at just one of the local, you know, universities. And I thought, I've got nothing else to do. I'll go along and have a listen. And yeah, I fell in love with the story of what she was doing. And so I volunteered my time, and I was just really inspired by, you know, doing something that meant something to you, but also gave back.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with Jonathan Fields and his work. He wrote a book called Sparked. And it's interesting because oftentimes we think we need to serve people, but we get just as much, you know, our purpose can be serving anything. And it's just having that sense of making an impact. So,
yes.
Yeah. So did you have pets at the time? Were you a dog person your whole life?
I've always been a dog person. Yes. I've always been an animal lover, but dogs particularly are just my spirit animal.
Yeah. Did you have parents who, like, did you have them in the home? My dad was, I would say, had a probably very extreme passion for pug dogs. He loved his pug dogs.
Yeah. I always had dogs growing up. And, you know, I remember the first dog I ever had was a rescue that my dad brought home. You know, back in that day, you know, you got dogs by literally dad, you know, met a man in the pub and, you know, he was talking about this dog that had been, you know, abused or neglected. And so suddenly he came home with a border collie. And that was my very first dog. It was a border collie who just blossomed, you know, with a little bit of love.
Yeah. It's funny you should bring up Collie, because I loved Lassie. Did you watch that when you were a kid? Yes. So like, oh my God, I wanted a Lassie. And one of the strays that I took care of for like a day until we found the owner. And I was literally, I was like, you know, 8 or 9 years old. And I found this dog and I just was so sad when his owners came to pick him up, because I knew my parents would have let me keep him, but he was a Sheltie. He was close enough to Lassie. So yeah, I loved Lassie. And I ended up, as when I grew up and became an adult, I ended up with Bernese Mountain Dogs, which kind of a little bit. I mean, they look different, but they're big, you know, they're big and they're hairy and smart. Yeah. So share with me how this then obviously blossomed into what you do now. How did that come about?
Well, as I said, I sort of found myself having the best days when I was with dogs. And I don't know, for some reason, I find, you know, dogs, I enjoy the company of dogs and animals more than people sometimes. It's the unconditional love, I think.
Yeah. And it's hard to find a human that can unconditionally love.
And are that excited when you, you know, come through the door every day. But no, so I sort of, that started me thinking about, you know, what made me happy and trying to find where I was going to go with my life now, and what I was going to do, you know, just on a day-to-day basis. So I also at that time was doing a lot of research into the overseas dog rescue, because, you know, the whole Yulin, you know, dog meat festival, you know, was big news at the time. And I guess just the groups that I was following, you know, on Facebook, was all about, you know, dog rescue and animal welfare. So those kind of things just kept being put in front of my path. And I was sending a lot of money donating to these overseas rescues. But being, you know, obviously in Australia, it's very difficult to go there. It's very difficult to know if your money is getting through and if it's making a difference. So I was talking to somebody about it and they actually said, why don't you start your own charity? And so I started looking into that. And that's what I did. So I now have Paws for Change is a registered Australian charity. And we work with local dog rescue in Australia, but mostly we focus on the overseas dog rescue and welfare, because there's some great, you know, organizations here within Australia. As I say, I work with some of them, but overseas there isn't a lot of animal welfare, and there aren't a lot of laws around that either. And so often that's where the need is most. So I started my charity and have dedicated the last 4 years to just building that up and trying to do as much as we can for the overseas dog rescue.
So is it just in one country that you work with, or are there multiple countries?
At the moment we're focusing Bali. So we have our own safe houses within Bali, and that's, I guess, really because it's so close to me. And I was always holidaying in Bali. So you know, Bali's only 5 hours from, you know, 5 hour flight from where I am. So I was always holidaying there and seeing, you know, the dogs on the street, and, you know, they've got a lot of skin issues and, you know, just health issues. A lot of them, because the traffic in Bali is just so chaotic, a lot of them do get into traffic accidents. So yeah, there's a lot of, you know, mobility issues and special needs issues. So I saw that all the time. And so I thought, you know what, that's where I'm going to start, because I can go there quite often. I have partnered with other couple of rescues that work in the China area, so rescuing dogs from the dog meat industry there. So we have supported some of their projects. But as far as having our own shelters and safe houses, at the moment, it's Bali.
So when you say safe house, can you describe what that means?
Safe house is just somewhere where they are literally, you know, safe. It's our I don't like the word shelter, because it conjures up, you know, kind of, you know, dogs in, you know, concrete cages.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not that. It's literally, you know, houses where they've got the grass area that, you know, they can run around. They're taken on daily walks, you know, to the beach or through the, you know, the rice fields. They've got, you know, live-in carers, and they're just able to, you know, to roam around, and they have their little groups, their little packs, little doggo friends that they kind of play with. So it is more of a safe house where they, you know, are off the streets. They have vet care. They're well-fed. Rehabilitated. We have rehabilitation programs, so they go through if they need to, acupuncture, physiotherapy, treadmill therapy, water therapy. We get
that's amazing. You know, I looked at your website. I saw that you, because I sponsor an AIDS orphan in Uganda, and so you have kind of something similar where you can adopt a dog and be a virtual like sponsor for a very small amount, and I love that. That's so, and you can see their pictures, and it's like, oh, they're just so sweet. Some of them have been like, you know, are paralyzed and have little wheelchairs. It's so cute.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have something called a virtual adoption. And you can go on and have a look at, you know, all the dogs available. I've got a little brochure here. So we've got like these little flyers. And so that's some of our, you know, dogs that are on there. So
for listeners, she's showing her brochure that has pictures and little descriptions. They're all named. The dogs are all named. Yes.
Yes.
So cute. They are.
And so we offer monthly sponsorship, so virtual adoption. So you're virtually adopting this particular rescue dog. You get, when you sign up, it's only $25 Australian a month, which, you know, I think is affordable for most people. It works out 80 cents a day. And
I think your money is more expensive. So I think it's cheaper in US dollars than,
conversion, but definitely. 80 cents a day is affordable, you know, for most people. And so you get a little welcome gift when you sign up. You get a framed photo of your dog, you get a certificate, and then you get monthly, so you become their furry godparent, we call them, and you get monthly updates sent to your inbox of your particular dog. So you get videos and photos and just what they've been up to that month. Because another thing with the whole, you know, when I was donating to these overseas rescues was the lack of transparency. You know, you never kind of knew the follow-up on these dogs, whereas this is a great way to be able to see every month that this dog is well, it's healthy. You know, we're obviously trying to rehome them, find adopters for them, but COVID times sort of slowed that down a lot. But you can get, you know, this transparency of how this dog is going.
Yeah, I love that. And do they get adopted too, or mostly do they just stay in the safe house?
It depends. We've got two specific safe houses. So we've got one specifically for seniors, and we've got one for special needs, which is all the ones with the little wheelchairs. And we've got in that special needs, we've got sort of, you know, just puppies and regular dogs come in there as well. It depends. Sometimes the special needs and the, you know, the puppies will be adopted out within Bali. So we do try and obviously rehome them. So we have had quite a few adopted within Bali or overseas, as in Europe, because we can't bring them to Australia. And it's just too hard with our quarantine laws, and it ends up being something like $12,000 per dog. And it's such a huge amount of time the dog's in transit and quarantine as well. It's just not fair. But the senior dogs, we tend to, you know, just sort of make them comfortable. It's more like, you know, in their twilight years, we just have a space.
Yeah, it's just kind of like us when we have to go to assisted living.
Yeah.
And get taken care of. Yeah. Yeah. So I have a question. Yeah, I have a question. Clearly, starting a charity is not like a big money maker. And you had been left and you didn't have a job and you didn't have any support system. You know, I don't know if you, what else you had, maybe family. But so what was going through your head, like, to make you... Because like some people don't do things just because they say, I don't have the money, or it's too expensive, or, it, you know, even if it's something that's calling or they're being nudged to do it, but they let kind of an external factors, which is, you know, good reason to not do something, right? But it didn't seem like you let that stop you.
No, I am actually very grateful to my my ex-partner. I've said this to him, so he won't, he, you know, wouldn't mind me saying it. I divorced well. So
yes, me too.
So yeah. I was very grateful to be in a situation where I didn't have to go find full-time work. You know, my mortgage was taken care of. I've got an investment property that, you know, gives me an income. And my kids are adults. They're 25, 27, so they support themselves. So I'm in a situation where I can now give back. You know, I now have the time to be able to give back, and I do this full time because I am fortunate enough to be in a situation that I can. So that's another reason why 100% of the proceeds from what I do goes to our rescue. So I don't take a wage from this. I don't need that to support me. As you said, starting a charity is never a great money maker anyway.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to make money. But a lot of the time, you know, when you donate to a charity, there are wages, there are overheads.
Yes. And so I saw that. I was like, 100%, you never see that. And sometimes administrative costs like are huge. Upwards of,
my own money into the project as well, especially in the early days, you know, to get started, to set up, because we sell products. So we have, you know, like our t-shirts, and we've got candles, and we've, for the dogs, we've got bandanas and bow ties, and we've got a great range of merchandise. And
yes, and I want to say, I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's called Pause for Change. And I love that because it's got a double meaning, pause, P-A-W-S for change, but pause, P-A-U-S-E. And you even like talk about that on your website. So yeah, if you just Google it, you'll find it. It is an Australian, it's a .org.au, I think. But it's all kinds of merchandise. So like her t-shirt that she's wearing that's so cute, and other t-shirts that I saw were cute, something like Harry's my like fashion or something. Hair is my fashion. I have a dog that doesn't shed, so that I've never had that before. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got like things that say dog hair don't care, that you can sort of sit on your couch, or, you know, a spoiled dog lives here. So we've got so much. We've gone into greeting cards and bookmarks, and we try and just keep making it fun and fresh. And because this is a really serious topic, you know, the whole dog rescue and, you know, some of the sad cases we see, you know, it's a really sad topic, but people engage better when it's fun and approachable, and, you know, they know that they can do something good while also having, you know, something to show for it, like a cool t-shirt, or you know, or adopting, you know, virtually adopting a dog. You know, you can't keep beating them over the head with the sad news. You've got to kind of say, look, it's a serious topic, but let's have fun and engage, you know, on that level and do something about it.
Well, I love too that it lets you use your creativity. It's like has that aspect to it that, you know, it does that. So yeah. So one of the things I asked my guests to submit three questions that they want me to ask them. And one of the things that was like, what's she going to say here? So what is the Lily Tomlin quote that inspired you? Because I loved Lily Tomlin too. The Edith Ann, she was like, I loved her.
Yes. Yeah. She is a great, you know, animal advocate as well. And when I was building the website, I stumbled across a quote from her that said, you know, I thought somebody should do something about that. And then I realized, well, hang on, I am that somebody. And it just really resonated with me. I thought, you know, it doesn't matter how small it is. If everybody had that thought, I am that somebody, you know. And some of the things, as I said, it's, you know, some really sad cases, and some of it is really heartbreaking and hard to see. But if I turn away, it doesn't mean it's not happening. It's still happening. So I am that somebody that can step up in this instance and do something for, you know, for some of the dogs. And I certainly can't say that, you know, we're going to save them all. I don't go in with those kind of crazy expectations. But everyone that I do save, you know, I've been able to do something. So I loved that quote when I saw it. And I just feel like, you know, everybody has the opportunity to do something, and it does make a difference. No matter how small you think it is, it does make a difference.
Yeah. And these safe houses, there's got to be humans that operate them, and you are doing something for them too, because I'm sure they go to work every day and enjoy helping these animals as well.
Yes. So we do try to give back on the human side as well. Even though, you know, we have t-shirts that say dogs because people suck. That's another one of my favorites. But no, we do give back to the people as well. So obviously in Bali, we're supporting, you know, the Bali people by giving them jobs that they are our carers. And we support locally here in Australia. So our doggy bandanas and bow ties are all made by an employment program for people living with disability. So, so we give back to them. And they do a great job, you know, with our sewing and packaging. So, yeah, we do try and give back on all levels where we can.
Does the woman who you went to see speak that really inspired you to go down this path, have you ever reached out to her and said, you know, I did this because of you?
Oh, yeah. We speak quite often because I still foster for her. I'm still a volunteer for her charity as well. So, yeah, no, we have this great mutual admiration. She really, I think, enjoys seeing what I've done with Pause for Change. And I am, you know, just super inspired by, you know, what she does as well, because she's really supporting the, you know, the domestic violence situation, you know, here in South Australia. And I believe there's talk of her program being rolled out in other states around the country as well. So, yeah. But we speak quite often. Yeah, we have a mutual admiration.
Yeah. So I have a twofold question. So what is different about you today than 4 years ago when you started this journey? I'm sure you've learned a lot along the way, especially about yourself. And what are you excited about in the future?
I guess the main difference is my whole attitude. You know, my whole persona, you know, is different. I have found my passion and my purpose. And I think, you know, I've never worked so hard, Laurie, for anybody else in any other job I've had. When it's your own business and, you know, particularly something like this where I am pretty much the main person, I wear all the hats or all the roles. I work 24/7 on this, and but I love it. You know, I can't stop because
it gives you energy, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's the main difference. You know, I used to sort of go to work and, you know, hum and ha because it wasn't my passion, and I didn't really feel inspired or get any satisfaction. Whereas now, yeah, my mind just keeps ticking over with, you know, new ideas, new products, new stockists, you know, new events that we can be doing. And, you know, if you start me, as you probably already gathered, you start me talking about this and I just can't stop.
Yeah. I love it when my guests get into the zone because it's so clear that's like what they're meant to do. Yeah. And you find that like a lot of people think passion you need to go find a new love. Well, the new love can be your purpose. That's the passion you want, because that's never ending. Yeah.
And it was cool. You know, as I said, in hindsight, when I thought my world fell apart, it really was just the beginning of this whole new phase for me. And I, you know, sometimes wish that I'd found it earlier, but then I think, no, I wouldn't have been ready to give it what I need to give it, you know, back then when I was younger. Or so I'm now at the stage where I can devote so much to it, and so it was the right time for it to happen. But it was just something so simple, like figuring out in those, you know, really sort of dark days, what makes you happy? That's the question you've just got to ask. What makes you happy? And if you can find that, if you can pinpoint what puts a smile on your face, dig deeper. Keep scratching at that, because that's literally what your purpose is. It's that thing that just sparks that joy in you.
Yeah. And what I like to say to people, and I heard this from somebody, I was like, that is so true, is something might come like it did for you, this like person on Facebook, and it doesn't really make sense, but it interests you. It's like, you know? So you can't just sit there and not do anything. You can't sit there and just stew in your juices and say, oh, I'm not motivated and I don't know. Take action. Even if it seems like, I don't know, I just don't have anything else to do, is what kind of you went, the reason you went. You let that be your reason and just go, and just something will, it came in front of you for a reason, and it sparked your curiosity for a reason. And so that would be my recommendation, because you did exactly, it didn't make sense, but you know, it's nothing you had real experience in, but you were like, oh, let me just check this out. And then, yeah, it was the universe saying, ding, like here, look at this.
Yeah, it was literally that. It was not a group that I followed. It was, you know, this university she was speaking at was not anything that I followed, but somehow it just came up on my Facebook and I just went, yeah, well, that sounds interesting. I'll go have a listen. And yeah, 4 years later, here we are.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So I want to know what you're looking forward to, what's coming that you're excited about, and then just like where people can, you know, how people can help, I guess.
Sure. Well, I guess I'm really excited about expanding Pause for Change even more. So I'm always, you know, just looking to, you know, make things bigger, make things better so we can, you know, help more dogs. And we've got a really big project that we're launching next year. We've got a big parcel of land. It's about 2,200 square meters, I think, that we have got a long-term lease on. We've just taken the long-term lease on this land in Bali. And we're building what is called Rescuetopia, which is going to be a sanctuary. Yeah, Rescuetopia.
Oh, so neat. I haven't been to Bali, but I want to go because... well, it's a long trip, so, but I definitely will look you up when I go, because I'd love to go see it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So if people, you know, are in Bali, they can already go to like our special needs or senior safe house. They need to kind of just, you know, obviously set it up. It's not a drop-in thing. They need to set it up because, you know, when we need to have my partner there, because a lot of the carers don't speak English. And Rescuetopia, definitely when that is open, it will be the same thing. So it's this big sanctuary where we're going to have we're going to pull the safe houses into the one big area, and we'll have, you know, look, all our rehab programs there as well. We'll have an on-site vet clinic for medical care as well, and an agility playground area. So so we're launching our big fundraiser for that next year. I'm gonna do, you know, like a little bit of a teaser pre-Christmas, just if people wanna, you know, donate towards that and get like a little certificate if they wanna, you know, like a virtual gift for people, like a Kris Kringle or something that is, you know, a charity give back kind of feel. We'll have that available. But all the details, yeah, will be on our website. And Rescuetopia, we've started the build stage now. So we're just, peddling ahead, trying to get the funds to get it all finished.
That is amazing. Yeah, you know, what comes to mind is like, you just went for it. And I don't know, I hope that this conversation inspires somebody to go do something and start something amazing. Yeah. And is there any advice as we wrap up that you could give somebody if they're, you know, what they're thinking right now is, I wish I could do what she did, but I don't think I can. What would you say to those people?
I would say, just listen to your gut. You know, just if you have the thought and the vision, go with it. You know, another one of my favorite quotes is, you know, shoot for the moon. And, you know, if you don't reach, at least you'll fall among the stars. You know, there's something is always possible. And like I said, even a small change can make a big difference. So trust your gut and just go with it.
Yeah. And I would say, don't what you're doing now, Rescuetopia, that's not where you started, right?
No.
So you started like going and helping transport dogs. And so, So think like, just the next step, the small thing. And, you know, honestly, you can Google anything so you can figure it out. I go to YouTube videos. I learned how to groom my dog over the pandemic So I'm like, I'll just do it myself. Cause my a friend, her husband did that. And I was like, okay, I'll go do that too. So yeah. And the funny thing is it's my dog's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday.
He's three. So yeah. So I will wrap up and I'll go cuddle with him. Yeah. So thank you so much, Annie, for coming on here and sharing your story. And I hope that some people go to your website, check it out, maybe become a virtual adoptee.
Yeah, that would be great. We would love to have some more fairy godparents in our team.
Yeah. So, all right. Thanks so much.
No worries. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Living Your Spark Second Half podcast. If you'd like to watch my guest interviews, you can find the video version of this podcast on my Not Your Average Grandma YouTube channel. Also, you can check out what I have going on at the moment by going to my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com or find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you like this episode, please mention it to a friend and don't forget to leave a review so I know the topics you like best and can bring you more of that content in upcoming episodes. Last but not least, remember to always listen to that inner voice that will never steer you wrong and make living from the most sparked place possible your biggest priority. When we do that, we make the world a better place.